stands before them and says, listen, you got to eat my flesh and you got to drink my blood. And they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, wait a minute. Don't know about that one now. And so again, it is a startling teaching. But you know, it's a fascinating thing that as startling and as stunning as it is, the Lord doesn't back down and he doesn't even try to soften it. He says, I am the living bread that's come down from heaven, and whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Now, he first of all states the reality of the Eucharist. The Eucharist is not just going to be a symbol of him. It's not just going to be a way that we remember him. You know, after I'm dead and gone, have a meal and remember me and my teachings. That would not have alarmed anybody. That was a common thing. You get together and you remember people who have died. To simply say that it's a symbol of him or of his teachings, none of that would have startled them. What startles them is he's saying, I want you to eat my flesh and drink my blood. So again, there is this great summons. First of all, he teaches on the reality of the Eucharist. The bread that I'm talking about is my flesh, and I want you to eat it. He doesn't say it's a symbol of his flesh. He doesn't say that it's a sign. He says it is his flesh. Now, there are other places in the scriptures where this teaching on Holy Communion is also given, and we're told of the reality of the Lord's body and blood in the Eucharist. So, for example, in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, St. Paul says, I received from the Lord what I handed on to you, namely this, that on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, also over the cup, after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And he goes on to say then later on, he says, therefore, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not in fact a communion in the very blood of Christ? And the bread that we break, is it not in fact a communion in the very body of Christ? And then he tells us to be very careful. He says, whoever therefore eats this bread and drinks this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the very body and blood of the Lord. So let a person examine themselves before coming forward, and so eat the bread and drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body drinks condemnation upon himself. Every now and again you hear the teaching that we should be careful to get to confession frequently. If we're going to be so bold as to approach the table of the Lord and eat his body and drink his blood, if we're aware of serious and unrepented sin in our life, we need to confess that. That's what St. Paul's saying. Otherwise, we receive unworthily and sin against the body of the Lord. If this was just a symbol, we wouldn't sin against the body of the Lord. You don't sin against a symbol. But again, because it really is the body and the blood of the Lord, we therefore should approach the table of the Lord worthily. If you haven't been to confession in a while, get there. It's a regular thing we ought to be doing. And even if you're not aware of very serious or grave or mortal sin, you really ought to get to confession frequently. But if you are aware of some serious sin, before coming to communion, should be a regular practice that you first have your confession heard before approaching the table of the Lord. So are you praying with me, brothers? The church doesn't make this stuff up. It comes to us from God. It's right there in the Bible. So again, make sure when you come to communion, and I pray you come to communion every Sunday. But for some of us who struggle with sin, that also implies we ought to be getting to confession. And if it's serious sin, before we go to communion. I had a little time in the confessional today. I got some of my prayer said. But that's not really a time for me to get my prayer said. It's a time for me to be there to hear your confession. So be frequent about confession. Now, the Lord, again, teaches us, therefore, that this bread that we receive is not, in fact, ordinary bread. It is, in fact, his very flesh, his very blood, the body, the blood, the soul, and the divinity of Christ. And when you come up today for communion, someone will say to you, the body of Christ, and you will say, amen, which means, yes, I agree, I confess this to be true, that this truly is the body and the blood of Christ. So again, notice the Lord, first of all, insists on the reality of the Eucharist, that this is not just a symbol of him. It's not just a memorial meal or some kind of token that reminds us of him, but it is, in fact, truly his flesh and his blood. Now, that leads to the reaction. It simply says the Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Again, they don't think the Lord's talking symbolically, do they? They're very clear. He's saying, you got to gnaw, you got to bite down, you got to chew on my flesh. And they're saying, you are crazy. You are insane. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They're quarreling, they're arguing, they're murmuring, they're protesting. Because they know the Lord is serious. The guy's lost it. That's what happened. He just lost it up there, see? And that's how they conclude. And so again, they react. They react. But you see, after teaching on the reality of the Eucharist and hearing their reaction, the Lord simply reinforces the teaching. He does not in any way back down. In fact, you might say he doubles down. And he does it not just by saying it again, but by even getting graphic. Now, the text says here in English, Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I say to you. Now, that's the Jewish equivalent of, let me be perfectly clear. That's what amen, amen, I say to you means. Let me be perfectly clear. And he goes on to say, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And then he goes on to say, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him on the last day. And my flesh is truly to be your food, and my blood true drink. Now, what happens though, that's the English. In the Greek, it gets a little graphic. Now, up till now, the Lord's been saying, you got to eat my flesh, and he's using the polite word for eat, you know, phagein, meaning just to eat. Now, when they protest, he says, let me be perfectly clear. And he uses a very impolite word in Greek for eating, trogon, trogon. And he means here, unless you gnaw on my flesh. You know, trogon is impolite kind of eating. You know, when you're at the picnic and instead of delicately eating with your front teeth, you lay up that drumstick on the side of your cheek and you gnaw on the, you eat it out of the side of your face. That's trogon, okay? That's impolite eating. That's gnawing, chewing, and munching. That's impolite, you see? And the Lord's really working him, isn't he? The Lord is doubling down. He's saying, I know you think I'm crazy. You think I've lost it. There's a screw loose, but I don't have a screw loose. I want to be perfectly clear with you. You have got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you will starve. You will have no life in you. You will not make it on the journey. And so the Lord is in effect insisting, you got to eat. And he says, because my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Now, why does he so insist? For two reasons. The first reason is that he equates himself with the manna in the desert. Now, let's go back to the Old Testament. You remember the situation of the Jewish people. And the Jewish people had come through baptism, if you will. They had come through the Red Sea, now out of slavery and into freedom, but they're in a desert. and they're going to take 40 years to get through that desert. I want you to know the first thing they notice, we don't have any food. We're going to die. So the Lord said, tell them tomorrow, I will show them the food that I will give them. And they went and they saw something called manna on the desert floor, and they collected it. They could knead it like dough and bake it like bread. And it was called manna, which in Hebrew does not mean bread. It means, you got to scratch your head when you say it, manu, which means, what is this? And they also called it bread from heaven. They called it the bread of the angels. But it was the food that God gave them to sustain them on their journey. If they had no food in the desert, they would surely die in the desert and never make it to the promised land. And so, as we've already discussed a few weeks ago, the Lord is saying here, I am now that manna for you. You have been baptized, but you ain't in the promised land yet. Are you praying with me, church? How many of you know that we're not in the promised land yet? It's good to be in the Lord's house, but there is still heaven before us, and we've got a journey to make through the desert. And the Lord says, you have got to eat. You've got to have food, lest the journey be too long for you. And so he says, I am now your manna. I am now the bread from heaven. I am now the bread of the angels. I am now the food that you must eat and not die. And if you don't eat, you have no life in you, and you won't make it to the promised land. So you see, wait, the Lord is insisting on this teaching because it's so essential for us. The Lord is insisting on this. And you know, when something's essential, we'll put up with a lot of crazy stuff. You know, have you ever thought about it? The doctor says to you, you know, you've got a cancer and it's serious and you're going to die if we don't deal with it. Okay, deal with it, doctor. And the doctor says, okay, I'm going to take a knife and cut you open. That's crazy, right? But you see, we submit to that because we know how serious it is. And the doctor, they'll sometimes use saws to cut through our bones to get there. Are you praying with me? So again, the Lord is saying, I know it sounds crazy. I know it sounds incredible, but I'm asking you to trust me that without me for your food, you will die. And you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Strange though it may sound. And so he says that. And the second reason is, you see, not only is there the reality of the Eucharist, that it's his body and blood, and despite the reaction, it reinforces. But here next comes the reward of the Eucharist. Listen to what the Lord says. And church, get ready to celebrate, because the Lord is making every one of us today a promise. If we're faithful to his altar, here's what he says. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. And just as the Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so you will have life. And I will raise you up on the last day, and I will give you eternal life. Church, that's a promise. Are you praying with me? The Lord says, you make this journey up the aisle every Sunday, I'm making you a promise. I'm feeding you to draw you to eternal life. I'm feeding you. It's my way of drawing you up to heaven so that you have unity with me. And so the Lord says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, I'll raise them on the last day, and they will have eternal life. There is a reward. And so the Lord says, you've got to do this. He insists on it. Let me be perfectly clear. You must gnaw on my flesh and devour my blood, because I want to give you eternal life. I want to give you food for the journey. I want you to make it home. And I promise you, you stay faithful, I will raise you up on the last day of your life. You will have the reward of the Eucharist. There's a beautiful old Eucharistic hymn that says that, O sacred feast in which Christ is received, the memory of his passion is recalled, and a pledge of future glory is given to us. Oh, church, a pledge of future glory. That's what the Lord gives us in the Eucharist. So you see, we have, first of all, in this great festival of readings today, an insistence on the wine. The wine of the festival, which is a symbol of Christ's blood, and it becomes actually and truly his blood. And likewise of his body, no longer bread, but now truly his body. And we receive those. So first of all, the great wine of the readings today. And now I want to say, move with you now, though, to the woman. And again, listen to this beautiful opening of the reading. It says, wisdom has built her house. Behold, wisdom has built her house. Aren't you glad we got a beautiful house of God to worship in? I can't tell you how many folks come in and they just say, wow, it's beautiful. You know, not everyone has such beautiful churches, amen? And again, up in those windows, sapientia edificavit sibi domum. Wisdom has built her house. Now, Lady Wisdom here in the first reading is an allegory or an image for the church. And the church is the bride of Christ, and the church is our mother. And you know what mother has a way of saying? You got to eat. You got to eat. And so again, it says, goes on to say, wisdom has built her house. She set up her columns. She's dressed the meat and mixed the wine. Yes, she has spread the table and sent out all of her maidens. And she calls from the heights all over the city. She says, let ever who is simple turn in here. To the one who lacks understanding, she says, come and eat of my food and drink of my wine that I've mixed, and forsake foolishness, that you may live and advance in the way of understanding. And so Mother Church says, come on over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. First of all, we feast on God's word, amen, that gives us wisdom, that gives us understanding, that forms us. It doesn't just inform us, it transforms us and it performs for us. Are you praying with me, church? Let me repeat that because there's a little bit of an echo in here. The word of God does not just inform, it transforms and it performs. And Mother Church says, come on over here where the table is spread. And we start at the groaning board of God's word. And the Lord teaches us and feeds us with his word. And that word begins to change us and transform us. And then we turn to the great altar, the table of the Lord, where again, the meat now is the flesh and the blood of Jesus, her son. So again, Mother Church says, I prepared the wine, I've prepared the meat, and the Lord now comes and turns them into his very flesh and blood, and come and eat. Come on, children, come on home. She's ringing the dinner bell. She's ringing the dinner bell, and she says, come on over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Are you praying with me? So again, you see there is this beautiful image of not just the wine, but a woman. The woman is mentioned here is called Lady Wisdom, but she's an allegory or she's an image of the church. And everywhere in the world, the church summons her faithful children. Come and eat. Again, it says, she's dressed her meat, mixed the wine, she spread the table and sent out her maidens, and she calls from the heights all over the city. She says, come on over here. Whoever lacks wisdom and understanding, come and eat of my food, says Mother Church. And so again, how does she have this food to give? Because her husband is Jesus Christ. And Jesus gives the word through the church. He gives his Holy Communion through the church. Now, it's a beautiful thought here. One of the blessings of this particular church structure is that we have a bell. And some of you get here early enough. Most of you don't, but some of you get here early enough. And you hear that bell going clang, clang, clang. And some of the neighbors don't like it, but even at 7:45 this morning, that bell was bang, that just clanging away up there in the tower. At 7:45, calling people to God's house. Ringing, ringing, ringing. And then again at 10:45, ringing, ringing, ringing. And at noontime, it's about to ring again, reminding everyone, even if they're not in God's house right now, to pray at the noon hour. Are you praying, church? Do you see the vision? The church calling, summoning, shouting, come, come on over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Well, then, if we've got the wine and we've got a woman, we've got to have some song. And the second reading here says today, a beautiful reading, and again, it's from the letter to the Ephesians, and Paul just says this. He says, listen, he says. He says, pay attention. Be filled. He says, don't get drunk on wine. In other words, we're not talking the wine of the world, amen? We're talking about the wine of the Lord's blood and his Holy Spirit, amen? He says, don't get drunk on wine, he says, but be filled with the Holy Spirit and address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to the Lord and always giving praise and thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Did you come to church to praise the Lord today? Did you come to sing? Did you come to shout? Did you come to say, thank you, Heavenly Father, for all you've done for me? Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for all the things that I don't even know you're doing to thank you for. Thank you for all you do. Now, church, the word Eucharist means in Greek thanksgiving. Why do we call Holy Communion the Holy Eucharist? Because the Lord took bread that night and gave thanks to Daddy God. He gave thanks. He took the wine and once again, he gave thanks to Daddy God. He said, thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you for the disciples you've given me. Thank you for all you're doing. And now, this is the blood of the new covenant which will be shed for them. But it's all an act of thanksgiving where we say, thank you, Father, thank you. I praise you, I glorify you. You know, every now and again, someone will say to me, I don't go to church because I don't get anything out of it. Well, I hope you understood after all we've been through in this homily that we're getting a lot out of it, amen? We're getting God's word, we're getting formed, informed, and it's performing, and he's about to feed us with his body and blood and give us a pledge of eternal glory. But even if I can't convince somebody who doesn't go to church of those blessings, when they tell me they don't come to church because they don't get anything out of it, I sometimes have to turn and say to them, it is not about you. Hello? It's about the Lord, and it's about what he's done. And if there's no other thing for you to do than get to God's house and just say, Daddy God, you've been too good for me to sleep in and not show up and thank you on your holy day. You've been good to me. I praise you. I love you. God is worthy of our praise. And if for no other reason, come to God's house for that reason. But I tell you, God will not be outdone in generosity. And if you come to thank him, he's going to load you up with more blessings. All the things we've talked about today, the joy of fellowship, the joy of singing and praising, instruction in his word that performs, informs, and transforms his body and blood and a pledge of future glory. Oh, you come to say thanks to God. God says, I haven't even gotten started yet. I've got more blessings for you besides. But again, come and praise the Lord and sing and give him thanks because God is good and God is worthy. And so we're gathered today in this beautiful house of God. Oh, wisdom has built her house. And she's called us. Mother Church has called us. She says, children, she says, you got to eat. You got to eat. Now, you know, long after I wasn't thin at all, my mother still said, you're looking pretty thin, son. Mother Church always says, come on over here. I love you. You're my children in the Lord. Jesus is my beloved spouse. And that makes me your mother. That's what the church says. And she says, you got to eat. You got to eat. And I got to form you and instruct you and teach you. And my son Jesus will do it. So come and have this instruction. So today, brothers and sisters, We've come to celebrate wine, a woman, and song. You just go on home and tell somebody that pastor talked about wine, women, and song today. And so I did. And God has a way of, if you will, summoning us so he can just give us more and more blessings. Don't even so much think of coming to church as just a duty. It is a duty because God is worthy. But just remember, he'll never be outdone in generosity. God has so many blessings waiting for us. Someone said to me the other day, I'm sorry I didn't make it to Mass the last few weeks. I said, well, that's up to you. You know what you just did? I said, they said, what? I said, you blocked your blessings. Don't block your blessings. Make sure you report to God's house. Because God has given out lots of blessings, but you got to show up to get it. Amen? So the church, Mother Church, she says simply, come on over here. I said, come on over here, where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. And if you ever get discouraged, just tell the devil, quote Psalm 23, devil, I'm not discouraged, because my Savior has prepared a table for me in the sight of all my foes, and my cup is overflowing. That is a sign of the Lord's grace and blessing for you. Let the church say again, amen. Come on over here where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is always going on. Amen.